And it is lovely to be with you this morning and to join in your morning worship, your harvest service. And we do trust God will continue to bless us this morning and indeed this, as you join this evening and tomorrow evening as well. We're very conscious this year indeed of the difficulties that the farmers have had and are still having indeed to bring in all the harvest. Whenever we meet like this and we sing All Is Safely Gathered In on this particular year, of course, we're conscious that there are still fields that haven't been harvested. But that's not something that we normally think about at a harvest time, and yet it's something that comes home to us very much at this particular year. But a harvest time is normally a time when we think about the joy of all God's goodness. We don't think of hunger, we don't think of thirst, we don't think of any want at all. And we have a desire to remember. We have a desire to remember God's goodness and to thank Him for all His care to us. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. And he is the one who, of course, is worthy to receive all the praise of our hearts. But the passage that I read to you this morning from John chapter 17 was an incident that happened at the harvest service, really, or the harvest season, whenever the Lord Jesus, just a short time before the Lord Jesus would be put to death. It was at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Jews had three great feasts in the year. They had more than three, but they had three great feasts in the year. And the Feast of Tabernacles was one. And the Feast of Tabernacles was really like their harvest service. And it reminded them of how God had provided for them, especially during their wanderings in the wilderness whenever they came out of Egypt. It reminded them of how God had provided water for them whenever Moses had struck the water or the rock in the desert. It reminded them of all God's goodness. And what the Jews did at that particular time, the people would build like little tents or little booths out of branches, and they would live in those little huts for 7 days. And they would remember the goodness of God, and they would remember all that God had done for them. And it was 7 days. It wasn't just a weekend. It was 7 days of feasting. It was 7 days of remembering the good things of the harvest. And there would be no shortage. There would be no thirst amongst the great crowd of people that were in Jerusalem at that time. And this, every Jewish man at least had to come to one of these three feasts every year. So there would have been a huge crowd of people in Jerusalem at this Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus is there. Jesus is there amongst the people. And He's teaching, we're told. He's teaching the people. It says in verse 14 of chapter 7, "Now, not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach." So 3 days are over, and Jesus comes now to the temple courts, and He begins to teach. And He teaches until the last day of the feast. And the tents now are about to be taken down. The people are starting to dismantle their temporary tents or their temporary tabernacles. And the crowd will soon disperse, many of them away into the outland villages and the places that they live. The crowd will soon be gone, and the opportunity of speaking to them will be gone, of course, forever. And it's on that closing day, and this is the important thing, it's on that closing day, as you notice in verse 37, on that last and greatest day of the feast, that Jesus stood up and said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink." Now, keep in mind, this is the eighth day, really, or the seventh, the eighth day of the feast. They have been rejoicing for 7 days. There has been no want, no shortage. Everything has been going the way it has gone in other years. It's been a great harvest festival. And now Jesus, at the end of it all, stands up and says, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And part of what that reminds us, of course, is that at this particular feast, every day of the feast, some of the priests would go down to the pool of Siloam with a large water container, and they would fill it with water, and they would bring it in procession up through the streets of Jerusalem to the temple, and they would pour it out. Every day they did that. And that was to remind the people of how God had provided for them in the wilderness, and how God was the author of the harvest, the creator, the one, the provider of the harvest. And they would be reminded every day when the water was being poured out, look, God is the one who has given you all that you enjoy. Remember, don't be taking it for granted. And then Jesus stands up and says, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Now, how could you be thirsty? How could you be hungry after 7 days? And especially the emphasis on the water being carried up every day. How could you be hungry? How could you be thirsty? Would you have a harvest if you were hungry? If we were in want, if we were in poverty, if we had no food, if the cupboard was bare, would we feel we could have a harvest? And yet Jesus stands up and says, if any man thirst. Let's think about this in a number of ways this morning, because when Jesus stood up and said, if anyone thirst, if anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink, he knew, of course, that there were those after 7 days of feasting and drinking, after 7 days, there were those who were still not satisfied. Not satisfied. Now, ordinarily, whenever you sit down to a meal, when you go home this afternoon and you sit down to your lunch or your dinner, well, you won't probably rise from the table until you're completely satisfied. Not unless you're very strict with yourself and you're on a diet or something, but you don't normally rise from the table until you've eaten enough. And here are people who, after 7 days of such feasting, are still thirsty. Now, of course, what they do not need is more food off the table. That's not their lack. They've had plenty of that. But Jesus is calling out to them after all these days of feasting. Look, those who thirst spiritually, let them come unto me and drink. And that's what's so important to remember here. This cry went out particularly to those who would realize at the end of this harvest that food and drink did not satisfy them. Yes, for a time it might satisfy, it might take away the hunger pains, and they might feel all right. But then they would realize, look, there's far more to things than this. There's far more to life than this. I need more than something more than food and drink can give to me. And the old emptiness returned, and the hunger for something more was still there. So food and drink, you see, couldn't satisfy this thirst. But not only that, you see, Jerusalem would be absolutely packed with people. And there would be so many people, it would be like going to the field on the 12th day over and over again. And you meet so many people you haven't seen maybe for a year before, or whatever the case might be. And you're talking to this one and you're talking to that one over and over again. Friends and fellowship didn't satisfy the thirst. For Jerusalem was absolutely crowded with people. There were plenty of people. So much good companionship, and yet Jesus stands up and says, look, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. But not only that, the city would have been filled with all sorts of amusements and entertainments that they did not satisfy. This was a celebration, you see, of another harvest, a time of rejoicing in the goodness of God. It wasn't a sad occasion. Why did Jesus say, if anyone thirsts? Because, you see, the amusements and the entertainment didn't satisfy the needs of their hearts. But even more important than that, this was a religious festival, one of the great religious festivals of the year for the Jewish people. And all their religion and all their ritual did not take away this thirst. And you would say, but surely if they spent 7 days giving thanks to God, surely there should be no thirst within them. They shouldn't be desiring anything else. Why wasn't the need of their hearts met? You see, this is a feast. A feast where at the end of this feast, Jesus still had to cry out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink." And this is a cry, you see, that goes out down through the years and it goes out to us today. A cry that goes out to anyone who is thirsty today. To those who have sought to fill the emptiness of their lives with friends, with amusements, with the things of this world, with even religion. And there are many people who try to fill their lives with religion. And all the time the thirst remains. For a short time maybe we can check the burning desire, but then it returns again. Nothing satisfies it. There are people who have tried one thing after another, and they have to admit and say with the hymn writer, "I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed." This cry goes out, you see, to anyone who is thirsty. It went out to these people in Jerusalem. After all their feasting, after all their religion, they still did not know Christ. And that cry goes out today still to men and women who are thirsty. But then I want you to notice this cry goes out to those who thirst in a particular direction. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for the water, for the streams of water, so pants my soul for you, O God." This cry goes out to those who hunger and thirst, who thirst after God, the living God. Now you would say, surely, would everyone not thirst after God? No, everyone doesn't thirst after God. There are many people, and you would say to them, "What about the need of your heart that only can be met by God?" And they would say, "No, the need of my heart can be met with all sorts of things. I don't need God." And there are many people who would say, and maybe even someone here this morning would say, "If I could only have more of the things that I want, if I could only have more money, if I could only win the lottery, if I could only have a bigger house, if I could only have a better job, I would be satisfied." And you see, the person who thirsts after those things has no thirst for God. And they're going to thirst after them and thirst after them and thirst after them, and they will never satisfy, because the more they have of them, the more they want and the more they desire to have. They'll never be satisfied. But the man or the woman who thirsts after God has that deep sense of his need of God. He realizes, look, only God can meet the need of my heart. And this is the thirst, you see, that Jesus speaks of. You see, none of us will ever look for a drink if we're not thirsty. But on a hot day, on a summer's day, and you remember back maybe years gone by, maybe like me, whenever you were maybe out in the hayfield and years gone by and the sun was shining, it wasn't very long till you were looking for a drink. You're very aware of the thirst very quickly. And you see, equally no one thirsts after God if we do not realize our need of Him. Our need of Him to take away our sin. Our need of Him to give us new life in the Lord Jesus. If we do not realize our sinful condition, then we will not seek Him. We will not thirst after Him. There's no need, you see. There's no thirst. No desire. No desire after God. But you see, this cry comes from the Lord Jesus, goes out to the person in Jerusalem that day and goes out to someone perhaps in this house this morning who realizes that the need of their heart cannot be met with anyone else by anything else or by anyone else than Jesus. And the person who thirsts after God will hear, if anyone thirsts, then they will say, but I thirst. I have tried this and I have tried that, but it hasn't satisfied. I thirst. And I desire Christ. Listen to Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come, all who are thirsty. Isn't this a wonderful invitation to the thirsty soul today? To come to Jesus. The person who knows the seriousness of his or her sin. The person who knows the helplessness of their condition. And maybe you've tried for years, you've tried other things and you've tried to put it off, but you're still not satisfied. Well, listen, Jesus is saying to you, are you thirsty this morning? Like you're thirsting in a particular direction. You're thirsting for him because you need him. That's who Jesus is speaking to. Maybe those of you who've wandered down Bedford Street in Belfast to the front door of the BBC. If you look from the front door of the BBC down there in Bedford Street, and you see in the middle of the road there's a fountain, a disused drinking fountain. And one time I went over to see because I could see writing on it. You'll find these words. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whosoever drinks the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Whosoever drinks the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Oh, I wonder this morning, is there someone who hears this cry? You still do not know the joy and the peace of knowing your sins forgiven in Christ. Well, listen, here's a cry. Are you listening to it? Do not look anywhere else. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. But then I want you to notice also that this cry is very wide in its entreaty. Very wide in its entreaty. Jesus got up and that huge crowd in Jerusalem. You can hardly imagine the crowd of people. They're so great. You see, if Jesus just had said this to one or two, people might say, but this is not for me. This cry doesn't come to me. But Jesus got up and he proclaimed it to Jerusalem, to the people all around. If any man thirst, and it rings out on that last day of the harvest, he issues this invitation to all who will hear. It's not just simply for people in Jerusalem. It's for others. There were plenty of people didn't live in Jerusalem. The place has got nothing to do with the invitation. It goes out to people in every city, in every country. It goes out to those who are thirsty. And it's not just for those who are educated. No, or those who are uneducated. It's not just for those who have much money or those who have little money. Tell me this morning, no matter how much money you have got, is there anyone in this house who doesn't get thirsty? Is there any one of us can neglect drinking? If you do not drink so much fluid, of course, and you get ill and you go to the doctor will say to you, you're dehydrated, you're not drinking enough. It doesn't matter where you live or how much money you've got or how many O levels or A levels you've got or degrees you've got, you get thirsty and I get thirsty. So wide in its entreaty. And it's not just simply for religious people. People might think reading this, but Jerusalem was filled with religious people. Well, of course it was filled with religious people, but Jesus is still saying, if any man thirst, because there were plenty of people in Jerusalem who had no time for God. And the invitation is absolutely clear. Jesus is saying, look, whoever you are, it's so wide. This invitation was extended to that great crowd, and the cry still goes out, you see, to us today, to everyone who is thirsty, to everyone whose heart is aching, everyone whose heart is empty because they know not Christ, because they know not their sins forgiven. If you're thirsting after God, then don't be saying, look, this cry is not for me. Of course it's for you. If you hear this cry today, then come. And then finally, this cry goes out in love. It goes out in love. Jesus came to that, he came to that great feast, and out of love he was teaching the people and pointing them, of course, to himself and to the kingdom of God. He had been teaching all who would listen. But if you notice in verse 28, then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, he said, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him. It's not something to say at a harvest service, at a harvest festival. After 7 days of feasting, after 7 days of giving praise to God for all his goodness, and yet Jesus stands up and says, you do not know him. You do not know him. They were there in their hundreds rejoicing in all the goodness of God, rejoicing at the harvest. And here we have this Jesus saying, you do not know him. I wonder how many people come to harvest festivals today, and this is still the case. People come maybe because, well, it's a good time of the year to come. It's like coming at this time, and coming at Christmas, and coming at Easter. And you know, there are certain times it's good to come. Maybe don't come many other times, but it's good to come. How many come to harvest festivals and they give thanks to one that they don't know? Oh yes, they've read about him, they sing about him, and they hear sermons about him, but in their hearts he's a stranger. And Jesus, you see, knew this was the sad state of many at the feast. He knew there were people who hated him. He knew there were people who were just longing to put their hands on him. And yet he cries out, look, if any man thirsts. Here was a cry that went out in love. If they would just acknowledge their need, if they would just acknowledge that they need their sins forgiven, if they would just come to Christ. He longed that they might come to him with all his heart. Would anyone doubt this cry this morning? Would anyone doubt it? If any man thirst, let him come unto me. The one who said it loved people more than loved men and women more than we can ever imagine. He loved us so much that he was willing to go to Calvary to die in our room instead. He loved us so much that he was willing to lay down his life that we might know this glorious salvation. He wanted this people to come unto him. That's why he cried out, if any man thirsts. And the cry goes out. It goes out in love. And it goes out in love today. Do you hear this cry today? Do you hear it? Remember, this was the close of the harvest. This is at the end of all the feasting. This was the end of all the time of praise. And Jesus is saying, if you thirst, do you thirst after God this morning? You think of the deer in the desert panting after the water brooks. And the psalmist says, so pants my soul for thee, Lord. Do you pant for him? Do you desire him? Do you want him? Do you want Christ? Do you want him living in your heart? Do you want to know your sin forgiven? Do you thirst after God this morning? This is a cry that goes out to you if you thirst, whoever you are. It goes out to those who have drunk and still are thirsty. It goes out to those who thirst after God. It goes out to those who will hear, because there'll be those who will not hear. There'll be those who close their ears to the cry. And the cry goes out in love. And it goes out to you again this morning. It goes out to every one of us. If we thirst, come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Listen to how the hymn writer put it so well. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one. Stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived. And now I live in him. I came to Jesus and I drank. Have you come to Jesus? Have you drank of him? Have you drank of all his provision? Do you know today the peace, the joy that comes from knowing Christ and rejoicing indeed that you'll never thirst again, because Jesus is your Savior and Lord and friend. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you indeed for your word. And we do ask that you would cause this cry, this call to go out very clearly. That if any man thirsts, that they might seek you, Lord. They might know that you are the only Savior, and they would turn with all their hearts to you. And they would rejoice forevermore, knowing that in Jesus there'll be no more hunger. There'll be no more thirst, because in him there is life forevermore. In his name we pray. Amen.